This podcast is brought to you by Eagle Bergmann, the leading specialist in sealing technology for the industrial and energy sectors worldwide. With more than 140 years of experience as a reliable full-service partner and innovation pioneer, Eagle Bergmann is actively supporting the energy transition through innovation and technological developments to reduce emissions and meet net zero targets. Operators, equipment manufacturers, engineering firms, and EPC companies benefit not only from Eagle Bergmann's expertise in research and development, consulting and engineering, and superior sealing technology, but also from comprehensive services, training, and support. Eagle Bergmann is a joint venture between the German Freudenberg Group and the Japanese Eagle Industry Group. For more information, visit eaglebergmann.com or meet Eagle Bergmann at one of the many exhibitions and events. Welcome to the Hydrogen Bar and welcome again to your favorite podcast on hydrogen, fuel cells and everything about it, all the little things that are related to that. And after a long, long time, Johannes, I think it's been at least a year, we are here once again with an English episode.
Yeah, we are here and of course, you can guess it already, it's not only us two talking with each other. But we have a guest here, a guest who's coming out of the English-speaking area. And I mean, you know him already. He was here a couple of times now already, always giving us updates about the Canadian hydrogen industry. But today, he's here.
Well, we spoke German, but
we need to separate the topics a little bit, right? Yeah, today, we are not really talking about Canada, but about a different topic, about Eagle Bergmann and their activities in the hydrogen space. And for this, we are happy to welcome Colin Bendick-Daniels again. A warm welcome to you, and it's great to have you here again for the third time, I think, or fourth time even.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's the fourth time, actually, yeah. And this time for the first time in English, so I'll give my English a try.
We will check it.
Yeah.
See if you're fluent enough.
After 12 years in Germany, it gets a little rusty once in a while.
So, yeah. Yeah, I see. But thank you very much for coming once again on the podcast. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you here, of course. As Johannes was just saying, today we do not want to give a Canada update like we have given so many times before, three times before. But we want to speak about the energy transition in general, I would say, and specifically about what you and your company are contributing to that, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I wanted to speak about. Obviously, in the past, we've focused mostly on the Canadian hydrogen market, but the company I work for, Eagle Bergmann, is very involved in the energy transition topic in general. Back in, I believe, 2021, when I started, we had set up an energy transition team broken into various what we call work streams that kind of tackle the energy transition as a whole. So we have dedicated experts and teams working on the various topics such as hydrogen and ammonia, which is what I'm responsible for, but also carbon capture, alternative fuels, circular industry, emission reduction, etc. So we have a pretty widespread team set up to tackle the energy transition as a whole. And obviously, there's a lot of overlap within the various teams. So there's a lot of collaboration, and that way we're able to support customers and companies working on large-scale energy transition projects.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I would say everybody knows you personally already from all the podcasts, but you can still also give a short introduction to you as well. But it would be also interesting to hear what is Eagle Bergmann really doing? Because I think they are definitely such an, you could call them here in Germany, hidden champion. You would classify them as such an hidden champion that are in a lot of applications, right? But you don't really see them as a typical consumer.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, Eagle Bergmann is part of the Freudenberg and EKK group, which is basically a collaboration of Japanese and German companies. Eagle Bergmann itself, in a nutshell, we are a mechanical seal manufacturer for compressors, pumps, and agitators. That's sort of our main business. But we have other products that we offer for various applications across sort of the energy industry. things like magnetic couplings, static seals, expansion joints, things like that. So we're very widely set up and spread across the industry, the energy industry. But obviously, like I mentioned, our goal as the energy transition team is to focus on renewable energy projects, and support them with our products and our know-how. Since, I mean, Eagle Bergman's been around for almost 130 years, or at least Bergman at the time it was formerly called. And we're spread across over 80 countries, have over 20 production sites worldwide. So we have a lot of expertise and a lot of references and experience in the space, which we can offer.
Right. So when you are saying that the company has been around for about 100 years, it's clear that you have not always been working on energy transition, right? So what is the initial idea of the companies? What was the initial product, the initial strategy that made the company big in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, the company got, I would say, the most success, where they really got success, was sort of in the traditional energy markets, oil and gas. That's where they supply the majority of their products. But obviously, as a company, we also want to do our part to meet the net zero targets for 2030 and 2050. We've come quite a long way with certain products like COBA DGS, which is one of our newer products that reduces emissions, methane emissions. So the handprint of that product specifically is one that we have as an example that we can offer in terms of emission reduction savings. So the company itself, we see the importance of getting to net zero, getting the net zero targets, but also having products that actually can do that. So it's more than just walking the walk. We also want to obviously talking the talk, but also walking the walk. And now that the company has really put focus on the energy transition topic by setting up this team, I think we're on our way to supporting that transition.
Mm-hmm. So you are yourself now since almost 5 years, probably in the company, 4 to 5. And you said with this kind of really focus in this energy transition, especially in the hydrogen space, has started. Basically, you are the nucleus of the hydrogen activities of Eagle Bergman.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, I mean, I come from a sort of a hydrogen testing background. That's where I really got involved with hydrogen as a gas, I guess you could say. But I've been sort of involved in the hydrogen space for almost 10 years now. That's kind of where my expertise lie. The company, when I started off, it was similar to a lot of other companies. They were not as familiar, I guess, with the new applications of hydrogen, but that doesn't mean that they have any experience with hydrogen itself in the past. I mean, it's not a new gas. We're just talking about new applications for it and new ways to produce it. But obviously, with gray hydrogen production and other applications in the chemical industry that you would need hydrogen for, we've supplied our seals for that in the past and have hundreds of references there as well. And as I think you guys have spoken on your podcasts about in the past, doesn't matter what color the hydrogen is, The molecule stays the same. That means basically the products that we have offered in the past are applicable to green or blue or turquoise or whatever type of hydrogen you're producing.
Yeah. Speaking about your products, can you name a few projects or products that you have delivered or supported in the past? Oh, this is, of course, interesting to see in which fields of applications a company like Eagle Bergman is active.
Yeah, no. So one thing I should probably highlight is that, like I just mentioned, our products, we haven't really reinvented the wheel here. A lot of the seals that we've offered in the past are just as applicable to these green and blue hydrogen projects that we've been involved with. So that's maybe the first takeaway to mention. But yeah, when we started in the hydrogen space, the renewable hydrogen or low carbon hydrogen space, whatever you want to call it, we started, as a lot of companies did, on the production side of the value chain. So producing large scales of hydrogen or large quantities of hydrogen and the sealing necessities that requires. That was our focus at the start. In the meantime, we've moved all the way down the value chain to the end use of renewable or low carbon hydrogen. So projects that are using green steel, for example, or producing chemicals with renewable hydrogen, we're involved in those types of projects now as well. So Obviously, there's some sort of lighthouse projects that we are involved with, well, we've been involved with from the start. The large green hydrogen project in Saudi Arabia is one. There's another one in Duqm that we're in Oman that we're involved with. And then quite a few blue hydrogen projects in North America, specifically in Texas and Louisiana. Those are some of the lighthouse projects that we'd like to mention that we're involved with. So, but I mean, as the market matures, as these projects mature, we're getting involved with different types of projects, like I mentioned. So also seeing a lot more end use cases where we are offering our products.
Mm-hmm. Can you maybe dive into one of these projects a little bit deeper and tell us what is exactly the thing that Eagle Bergman is doing there and contributing? What are the kind of, in some way, key competences that Eagle Bergman brings that to the table?
Yeah, sure. Like I mentioned, we have over 100 years of experience, really, with sealing solutions. And as I also mentioned, these projects, the pumps, the compressors that are involved in them, they're nothing really out of the ordinary as of yet. So we have a global team set up specifically. Myself and my team were part of the International Projects team, which is a global team set up to support these large-scale projects where there might be companies involved from various countries. So what we're able to do, obviously, is support locally, but also internationally from a higher level. So from the end user EPC level, we contact them, we're involved with them, and sort of get an understanding of the customer pain points that they may have with these large-scale projects, because they're obviously very complex. So we're able to offer, for example, maybe a standardized product list now that we have a lot of experience, a lot of references, know what type of applications need what type of seals. We have basically pump and compressor lists where we can go in and say, hey, we can speed up the process, cut down the costs, and offer our sealing expertise for these various applications. And I think that's something that's really important, especially with the complexity of these large-scale projects, and also to get them moving forward at lower costs. So that's kind of what we can offer from a higher level. And then obviously on a technical level, we have technical project managers, which would be sort of my counterpart on these projects, that would offer technical solutions specifically for one particular application to another, and give sort of options, you know, what type of seals, what type of sealing systems would be recommended, and where certain maybe specifications are a bit too, let's say, broad and could be a bit more exact. And I think that is really helpful for a lot of these EPCs and end users that are looking to keep the costs down and move these projects forward. So,
yeah. Are there any specific challenges that you want to highlight? Because you said you are refitting or repurposing your legacy products in many cases. Are there any specific challenges that you have to face when you are repurposing them for hydrogen applications?
Yeah, so I mean, when it comes to the pumps themselves, in the majority of the cases, the pumps aren't in contact with the hydrogen. These are pumps that are used for circulation, for cooling, utility pumps, things like that, boiler feed water pumps. And in those cases, we are, like you said, sort of using our standard product catalog offering for those applications. But where we see more, I guess, challenges would be, maybe the words would be on the compressor side of things. Obviously, hydrogen being a very small molecule and difficult to compress, you have challenges with respect to circumferential speeds of these compressors, basically how fast they have to spin to get a compressibility that's manageable. And we, obviously, as a dry gas seal manufacturer, we have to adjust or develop our seals to be able to handle those higher speeds. Another thing that a lot of people in the hydrogen industry or that work with hydrogen are aware of, the embrittlement characteristics of hydrogen. So our dry gas seal faces aren't exactly affected by it because they're not made out of any sort of, they're generally a silicone carbide sort of seal face and don't have any sort of metallic components, but the housing and other components within the dry gas seal may be affected. So those are two sort of standout challenges that we're working on. But again, it doesn't just affect us and our dry gas seals. You know, the OEMs, the compressor OEMs are also dealing with this. So we're working very closely with them to make sure that our developments go along with what they are doing. And we've seen a couple applications now come out on sort of medium scale projects where We have different types of screw compressors that are being used. And for that, we have some developments ongoing as well that we hope to bring to the market fairly soon as well. So those are kind of the challenges that we're looking into, but no showstoppers in sight from our side of things. It's just a lot about the communication between the companies involved. I really try to harp on that, especially when I'm speaking to various customers, that it's really important that we exchange what challenges we're dealing with in order to make sure that we're all moving in the same direction and pulling on the same rope, so to speak.
Yeah. What are the typical steps that you go when really adjusting something for this hydrogen market? Like, I mean, I guess you have also a lot of products that work with the typical kind of natural gas market, natural gas application. If you really say you want to adapt it now for the hydrogen use, do you have a recipe that you just follow and you say, okay, every time we need to check these five things and then we adapt and then it's ready? Or is it more like an customized approach? So for every product, you need to kind of evaluate again what the customer really needs, how it is used, and so on.
I think the question is a bit difficult to answer because generally we have, based on the application or the situation, if there's a certain sort of challenge that is out of the ordinary, then we will speak to the customer directly to understand if there are any changes that are needed. In general, like I mentioned, we have sort of developed more of a standardized approach with these large projects. If we come across something that's different or that's maybe new, we will obviously try to understand what differences and whether those differences pose any extra challenges or difficulties. But yeah, in general, I wouldn't say we have five steps we follow. We generally look at a project, try to get a good understanding of it, which applications are involved in it. And if anything stands out as different, then we'll definitely make sure that we've looked into it sufficiently to make sure that there's nothing that poses any extra challenges or anything that we're not used to. But I would say that's a case-by-case scenario.
Mm-hmm. What we have discussed many times in the podcast before is the fact that the hydrogen economy or the hydrogen industry is not in the best shape at the moment, if you will. So there are certainly some aspects that are not on the top level at the moment. And what we have also discussed many times before is that for a lot of the projects or the project ideas that are out there, we are missing an FID. There is a lot of project planning, a lot of project ideas, but when it comes to putting the actual money on the table, a lot of investors, a lot of companies are reluctant. Is that something that you see in your company as well, in the projects that you are working on?
To be honest, I really need to applaud my company's efforts up until today. Obviously, that can change given that we're in a very dynamic political atmosphere. But in general, my company's approach and the Freudenberg strategy for the next few years is very much focused on the energy transition. We've invested a significant amount of budget and resources into these projects in order to get involved and support them from an early phase. So from our end, I see the continued support there. When we're looking at projects with respect to their FIDs, this is something you guys had discussed with Yorgos Chatzimarkakis on one of your more recent podcasts I listened to. And one thing he mentioned that I thought was very interesting is that the oil and gas industry took about 40 to 45 years to really get up and running. And given that we're probably into about year five of this legitimate scale-up attempt for the hydrogen industry, what you're seeing now with respect to the projects, at least the ones we're involved in or looking to get involved in, is a much more cutthroat approach. At the start, everything was rosy and everyone wanted to get involved in these hydrogen projects and in the hydrogen space. But now it's more of a question of whether it's going to fly or not. So, you know, feasibility studies indicating strong business cases are crucial. And obviously the financial support to back it up is something that is not easy to get, especially in this volatile or turbulent political atmosphere we find ourselves in. So what you're seeing is more projects get either put on hold or delayed or even canceled altogether, which, I mean, I don't necessarily see that as a completely bad thing. It just kind of shows that the market is maturing. So what you're seeing now are the real key players come to the forefront and take control in the direction of the industry. So I think that's important. I mentioned, obviously, that I've done in the past that there are certain lighthouse projects or key projects that are really kind of, you know, help the industry move forward by showing the lessons learned and what to do or not to do. So I think those projects specifically will be of interest, not just for Eagle Bergman, but for the industry moving forward. And those are the ones we really are focusing on and are trying to support. But in the end, that's our plan. And I think with our sealing expertise and the references we've gathered over the past 4 or 5 years now, we can really help these companies move along quicker, more efficiently, and more cost effectively.
Yeah, nevertheless, I think, of course, a side effect of the current situation is that obviously there is a lot of uncertainties and a lot of risk. It's really hard to find a strategy that will be working. And it's really hard to like make a plan, an investment plan, or set up a business case, which has a high probability of flying. Are there any specific targets and goals that you and Eagle Bergman are looking for in the next few months or even the next year? Are there any specific regions, projects, value chains that you want to focus on because you think that the probability of success is the highest in them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, being located in Germany, we do have a high incentive to support the German and the European hydrogen market. The amount of projects in Europe would indicate that that would be the region to go after, considering the numbers we're seeing and now the FIDs roll in. I think what you also have in Europe as a huge advantage is infrastructure in terms of pipelines that are being developed that are already existing, are being repurposed, and even new hydrogen pipelines being built. So I think the infrastructure that exists in Europe is too big advantage when we look at projects that we want to invest into. Having said that, there are other regions that we're heavily involved in. The Middle East comes to mind. Asia Pacific would be another region where we see a lot of interest and activity. Obviously, North America, the landscape there has changed somewhat. That doesn't mean to say that we're going to pull out of the projects that we're involved with or interested in. I think the main goal is to really support the hydrogen industry to get it up and running. I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the hydrogen being in the valley of death right now. But
yeah.
I think if people and companies involved in these projects just put their heads down and continue to work to continue to get these projects moving forward, then I think the opportunities that will arise out of it will be substantial in the hopefully near future.
Yeah, it's very fascinating, very interesting insights that you shared. Maybe to wrap up this episode, is there anything else you would like to share or to make our listeners aware about?
I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, if there's any companies out there listening that are interested in what we have to offer, I would maybe give Eagle Bergman a shameless plug there. But you know, I think as someone who's been involved in the hydrogen space for a while, I think my message would stay, you know, just that, is that we're in a still very young industry and there's always challenges lying ahead when it comes to these types of complex projects and this complex energy transition. But yeah, in general, us at Eagle Bergman, the energy transition team we have here, I have my colleagues working tirelessly on various types, not just hydrogen, like I said, alternative fuels, circular industry, emission reduction, and especially carbon capture. I think those are areas where we hope to grow in significantly in the upcoming years. And the goal, the strategy of ours is in the end to really successfully meet our net zero targets and as a company, but also globally. And I mean, we're all on this planet together. So that's really, I guess, what my final statement would be.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Colin. It was a pleasure, of course, to have you here at the bar once again. And in fact, this will not be the last time, of course. And it will also be not the last time for Eagle Bergman. We will have a second episode, which will probably be published around September or October. So stay tuned for that. With a very interesting product that you want to present in a couple of months then. So we are excited for that. And to our listeners, as always, if you want to find more information about Colin or about Eagle Bergman or about the hydrogen industry in general, you can check the show notes to this episode. So if you use your podcast player to scroll down a bit, you will find the show notes and you will find all the links that you can use for getting more information about the company and about Colin. Thank you very much once again, Colin. As I said, it was a pleasure. And I really hope that we will be able, of course, to welcome you back for another Canada update, probably in a couple of weeks, couple of months. So that would be great.
Yeah, I know. Thanks also to you guys for having me on again and allowing me to speak in my native tongue this time around. So appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you very much. And with that, I think we can wrap up the episode. Right, Martin? Anything else from our side?
Yeah, no, just the usual hint or usual recommendation. Yeah, you should definitely, of course, reach out to us. You should use our email address, which is contact@hydrogenbar.de. Well, that is, of course, the German spelling. I'm sorry for that, but I think you will figure it out. And, of course, you can also use our website, which is hydrogenbar.de. You will also find a contact form that you can use if you didn't figure out the email address correctly. So that is also an option and a possibility, of course, to reach out to us, to contact us. And of course, if you agree with that, Colin, of course, you can also send messages for Colin, of course, to this address and we will forward it. So don't hold back on reaching out to us and getting in contact. Thank you very much. We will hear each other again for another episode of the Hydrogen Bar podcast next week. Have a good time. Goodbye.
Until then, have a good time.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it having me on. And it was a pleasure to talk to you as always.